As we talk about John here, we're going to read verses 19 through 23. John the Baptist is the one we're talking about. The Apostle John is the one who wrote the Gospel of John. But he refers to John as just John here because John's very humble. He doesn't even call himself by his name. He calls himself the disciple Jesus loves and other things. And as we look at the beginning of Christ's ministry, the end of John's ministry, this section of John introduces us to the last Old Testament prophet, that's John the Baptist, and it brings into light the New Testament disciples. But whether New Testament or Old Testament, the Scripture teaches us here that being a disciple is about pointing others to Christ. Notice this next thing. Being a disciple is about pointing others to Christ. Read with me John chapter 1, starting with verse 19. Now this was John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Christ." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" Now there was a prophecy from Isaiah that said Elijah would come, or the one coming to introduce the Messiah would come with the power of Elijah. And he said, "I am not. Are you the prophet?" And there was another prophecy that spoke of the fact that there would be a prophet come, and he would come before the end of the world. And he said, "I am not that prophet," he answered. Finally, verse 22, they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" And John replied in a very humble fashion. In the words of Isaiah the prophet, he said, "I am the voice of one calling in the desert, 'Make straight the way of the Lord.'" Now, as you look at that scripture, you recognize that John the Baptist's sole mission in life was to introduce the Messiah to the world. You know, once in a while on these nature shows, you see that there's a bug that lives for a day or even a week. And all they live for is to produce the next generation. And you say, what a waste. What a waste. Well, if the bug bites, I say, good deal. But when you look at this man's life, his sole mission in life, his total reason for existing, was to point to the Messiah and say, he's the one. That's the way God planned it. And then after he does that, after he introduces Christ, he moves off the picture. He's put in prison and his head's cut off. Now, wow. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? But remember, the Scripture teaches us that being a disciple is all about pointing others to Christ. That's our job too, just like John's was. Now, when they say, "Who are you?" he says, "I'm not the Christ or the Messiah. I'm not Elijah, not the prophet. I am the voice of the one crying in the desert, 'Make straight the ways of the Lord.'" He was introducing the Messiah, and he was preparing Israel to meet the Messiah. Now, when you go back to look at his birth, and we won't do that right now, but his miraculous birth spoke of God's purpose for him, because he was great in the sight of the Lord, it said, as his father is told, Zacharias is told. The Holy Spirit was with him from the time of his birth. He would bring many back to the Lord in Israel. He would have the spirit and power of Elijah, and he would prepare the people for the coming of the Messiah. And when you look at that, you recognize that God has prepared us, each one, with the same task of sharing Christ to others. And he's provided for us. He gave us the Holy Spirit. When you trusted Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit entered you. He became the one who, as Ephesians 1:13 says, was your guarantee of a future in Christ. He's also the one who teaches us according to John. We're going to see that a little bit later. He's the one who holds us in Christ according to the Scripture. He's the one who is our teacher in the things of God. And so you have just as much of the Holy Spirit as John the Baptist did for the work that God plans you to do. You also were gifted according to accomplish things for God, according to 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12 and Ephesians 4. And sometimes when we talk to people about their growing in Christ, they say, well, but I'm not some big prophet like John. Or I'm not some big preacher like Paul. Or I'm not some evangelist like, and they name all these names. But God has given you the job of introducing others to Christ, pointing others to Christ. And whether he's gifted you in teaching and preaching, or whether he's made you a missionary, or whether he's made you a plumber, whatever it is, our job is to point to him. And whatever we do, whatever our job is in life, our main job is to point to him and introduce others to him. Just like John did, just like the apostle did. And so when we look at that, we are just as gifted as John, just as prepared as John to do the work that God has for us. Now you notice his message was repent for the forgiveness of sins. Repent for the forgiveness of sins. What he was doing was getting Israel ready for their Messiah. And what he's saying is, look, he's coming. Just like the town crier would go through the cities ahead of a king and say, the king is coming. Get ready. Get ready. And the people would come out to the streets to see the kings in the old days. That's what he's doing. Your king is coming. Your Messiah is coming. Get your heart ready for him. Prepare yourself for him. So that when Christ came and began to preach, and we'll see this a little bit later here in John, their hearts were ready to listen to what he had to say. And they were ready to respond to what he would do. And that would be to die on the cross for their sins. The message was turn away from sin and toward Messiah. The change of mind was there with resulting change in life. In a life change. And that's the same message we have today, right? The Word of God says, listen, pay attention. Change your mind about Jesus Christ. He's not just some good guy that came on the earth to show us how to live, although he did. He's not some guy that just came to give us some wisdom. He was the very Son of God who came to the earth to die for your sins, and you need to trust him as your Savior. Changing your mind about him and about how to get to heaven is what it's about. I can't get to heaven on my own. I trust Christ alone. And then after I trust him, I live for him. And what do? I point others to him. Others to him. If you were to be hear about on TV about all these free gifts that would be given away if you went to a certain place, you would take advantage of that, wouldn't you? I hope you would. Would you tell your friends? Some of you are going, no, not till I got all I wanted, right? No, you would tell your friends. You'd be calling your family. Hey, I went and they're giving all this stuff away. It's free. You don't have to pay for it. Well, why don't we do that with the gospel? Why don't we do that with the gospel? Now, he baptized people, and the baptism was an outward sign of an inward change. And that's why we baptize too, right? Remember when we baptize people up here, we say, this is a testimony of what happened on the inside. It's a picture of dying with Christ and being resurrected to new life. That's what happened when you trusted Christ. You died to self and you were raised with Christ. And that baptism shows that. And the same thing with John. By being baptized, they said, I am ready for the Messiah. I am trusting him. I'm looking forward to him. I want everybody to know it. I'm ready to point others to Jesus Christ. And of course, as you see John in the scripture here, you recognize that he was very humble. He knew what his job was, and he did it, and then he shrank back into oblivion. And when you look at verses 26 to 30 of chapter 3, chapter 3, verse 26. As Christ starts his ministry, some of his disciples say, "Hey, this guy's over there baptizing. He's got more people over there than you do." And there in verse 26, they came to John and said to John, "Rabbi, the man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, well, he's baptizing and everyone's going to him." They were jealous for John. And look at what he says. To this, verse 27, John replied, "A man can receive only what is given him from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Christ, but am sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it is now complete. He must become greater, I must become less." What's he saying? I'm moving off the scene here, boys. You're to go to him. I'm pointing you to him. Go to him. I'm just the messenger. I'm not the bridegroom. I'm the best man. And look who's important. The bride and the bridegroom are important. I'm nobody. Look at Christ. I'm shrinking back. And that's what exactly happens to John. It's sort of like in these movies, you know, when they fade to black. John just simply fades out of the scene. And who comes up? Christ comes up. And that's the way we're to be, by the way. All these people that want their name in lights, they want ministries named after them, they want to be noticed, guess what? They're not pointing to Christ, they're pointing to themselves. And they make a name for themselves instead of making a name for God. Our job is to fade back and say, look at him. Look at him. Look at him. He's the one. He's the one. We're just the voices in the wilderness saying, there's the Lord. There's the Lord. He's the one. In chapter 1, verse 29, I like the way John does this. As Christ, remember, was baptized by him, he saw the Holy Spirit come down on him the next day. Look, 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Look, there he is." That's why I put that guy pointing. And I can see John out there by the River Jordan. "Look, there he is. Go. Go to him. Forget me. Go to him." He's pointing others to Christ and away from himself. A little bit later in the same chapter, verse 35 says, "The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples." What did he do? 36. "When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, 'Look, the Lamb of God.'" That was his ministry. Not himself. It was Christ who was his ministry. And what happened? Look at what happened next. 37. "When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus." His ministry is pointing us to Jesus. That's your ministry. That's mine. Not to us, to Jesus. There he is. Go get him. And then as you transition to Christ and his disciples, the same thing occurs there. As you go on down to verse 40 to 42, Andrew is one of those people that followed Jesus and left John, and look at what happens in verse 40. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. 41. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Andrew found Peter. I'll never forget you all know we buried my dad here last week. And I remember as a young teenager, when he trusted Christ, the first thing he did was go to his mom and dad's house. He said, "I found the answer. I've been looking all this time. The answer is Christ. This is how you trust Christ. I've done that." He went to his brothers. "I am going to heaven. Not because of the church I trusted, not because of the things I used to do, but because of Christ." What did you do when you first trusted Christ? Who did you talk to? Did you freeze up? "I can't do that. They'll call me a holy roller." He went to his brother first. And that's the way God works, his circle of influence, you call it. It's sort of like the rings in a pond when you throw the rock. You know, you see those rings go out and out and out. That's the way our testimony should go. Our immediate family, our close friends, the people we work with, the people we live around, the people in our city, the people in our state, the people in our country, the people in the world. And that's what you see, by the way, as you look at Acts. When they were saved, excuse me, when they were saved, they talked to their families. And like in Acts chapter 13 there, where the man is saved, it says, "He and his household trusted Christ and were baptized." And then they affected their friends, or they infected their friends with the gospel. And their friends trusted Christ. And they talked to somebody that they loved. And it went on and on and on. Before you knew it, the whole known world was infected with this Jesus stuff. That's the way God planned it. Look a little further. Excuse me. Look a little further. In verses 43 to 45. Philip. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Excuse me. I want to cough here. Finding Philip, and he said to him, "Follow me." What does Philip do? He follows Jesus. What else? 44. What did he do? He went home and said, "Okay, that's good. I went to church one day this week." Huh? No. Look, he, like Andrew and Peter, was from a town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael. And he said, what? "I found the answer." He infected Philip with the bug. He says, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law. And about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And the son of God, by the way. So they infected someone else with that bug. Jason came yesterday and he said, I'm teasing. Ryan came yesterday and said, for 2 days my stomach's been killing me. And I said, well, you know, okay, just stay over there. I didn't want to get the bug, right? But getting infected with the bug, the gospel bug, makes a difference. Thank you, bro. Somebody thought of me and brought me these little things. But if that's cold, I'll take that one. Thank you very much. I'll drink it just because of you. So Andrew brought Peter, Philip brought Nathanael, and that's the way the gospel spread out throughout the world of that day. You go to Matthew 28 with me. Matthew 28:19. Jesus was getting ready to leave the earth, go to heaven. He gathered his disciples together. And he gave them a command. We call this the Great Commission, and we use it when missionaries talk. We use it at missions conferences. But it was not given at a missions conference. It was not given, it was not simply talked about missionaries. It was the marching orders for the disciples. Matthew 28:19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the end of the earth. Now, the only command in there is to make disciples. Because according to the way the Greek is written, the tense, it ought to be read this way. While you are going into the world, make disciples. While you're going, make disciples. While you're going, teach them. While you're going, baptize them. And the point that's being made through that is, it's done through everyday living. He doesn't say, if you've got a seminary degree, go out. He doesn't say, if you are called to be a missionary, go out. He doesn't say, if you're a preacher in a church. He says, while you're going, share Christ. Share Christ. Look with me at Acts for a minute. And I forgot to write my reference down. Isn't that terrible? It was after the persecution. And let me find it. Thank you, girl. Is it on the notes? I didn't write it on my notes. I got them up there. Okay, 11:19. I thought I'd written it down somewhere. Boy, what would I do without y'all keeping me straight? Okay. Now, we've just read there in Acts about Paul persecuting the church. I mean, he was ripping it up. And he was causing so many problems that people just couldn't stay around Jerusalem anymore. And one thing that had happened was Jerusalem became the center of the church. And what is typical is we get comfortable. And so we don't do what we're supposed to do. When they were there in Jerusalem, remember, Pentecost, 5,000 were saved at one time. People were being saved every day. Jerusalem was just covered with the gospel about Christ. People were getting saved all over. Paul comes on the picture, or Saul as he was called then, and he just rips up the church. He's putting them in jail. He's having them killed. And Christ is saying, you won't scatter, so I'm going to scatter you. So he allows Paul to scatter the church. And what happens is, in verse 19, now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. Because remember, Christ said to the Jew first, then to the Gentile. Now because they were persecuted, they did what they were told in Matthew 28. Finally. And went to the whole world. Who was doing that? Who was doing that? You read in the scripture and you find out that it was the everyday ordinary people that were getting scattered. We're told that the apostles stayed in the area around Jerusalem so that they could make it the center and so that they could teach the people there and spread out. It was the everyday ordinary people, the carpenters, the plumbers, the people who made dyed garments. And as you read through Acts, you realize that it was everyday people. It wasn't the guys who were from seminary. It wasn't the guys who had Bible college education. It wasn't the missionaries that had been sent out. It was the people, everyday people, who went out and they spread the gospel beyond Jerusalem all the way all over to the ends of the Roman world. Because they knew that being a disciple is about pointing others to Christ. And that goes along with Matthew 28. As you are going, as you are plumbing, as you are being a policeman, as you are being a housewife, as you're being a carpenter, as you are doing whatever you do, what? Make disciples. He didn't say, if you're a preacher, if you're a missionary, he said, everybody, as you're going in your daily rounds of life, as you're bumping elbows with people around you, as you're living, as you're in your neighborhood, do what? Point others to Christ. Why? Because he told us to. And that's the way the gospel really goes out. Being a disciple is about pointing others to Christ. Look at the next slide. How are you doing with that? Are you doing your part? When was the last time you pointed somebody to Christ? Through your words, through your life. How can we call ourselves disciples if we're not doing what disciples do? John did it, was faithful. The apostles did it, they were faithful. All through the years, they've been faithful people. They pointed you to Christ. Who are you pointing to Christ? I left a place on your notes there. Who do you need to point to Christ? Pray for them daily. Then do more than pray. Find them like the apostles did when they first found Christ. I found the answer. There he is. There he is. Tell him about it. You say, but I don't know that much. Just tell him what happened to you. Tell him what happened to you. You may know of a great sale. You don't know all the details, but hey, Penny's is having a great sale. I went, I got some stuff. That's all you need to do. Get him excited. Let him know what happened to you. I trusted Christ as my Savior. My sins are forgiven. I want you to feel that. I want you to know that. Let's point it to him. Thank you, Lord, for your word. I know that as we're here, we all have people on our minds that we need to point to Christ. Like John and the apostles and the early Christians. You have gifted us as you did John and the apostles. You have given us your Holy Spirit as you did John and the apostles. You have prepared hearts ahead of us, as you did for John and the apostles. Help us to be faithful in pointing others to you. Look, there's the Christ. There's the one who died for our sins. Heavenly Father, help us to share. For your glory we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now this morning, I didn't go through the gospel. I usually do, right? I can do it real quick. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you need to trust Him today. If you've never done that, do that today. You might want to pray a prayer like this. Heavenly Father, I know I'm a sinner. And I know my sin won't let me get to heaven. But I know Christ died in my place on the cross and paid for my sins. I'm trusting you instead of me. Forgive me, make me yours. Once you've done that, I'd ask you to share, to let others know so we can rejoice with you and share with you. Sing with us, if you would, please.
Stand up as we sing. I'm trying to remember what our song is.